spoken and preached in this church since back in 2018. Seems like a long time for me, which is really, really cool. So all the notes, of course, are going to be on the YouVersion app, on the Bible app. You can get onto YouVersion under events and download them. They're really, really cool too. If during the week you want to go back and visit the Word of God and maybe catch up with somebody, have a coffee and share and open up and unpack the Word and what it meant to you and means to you. As we kick off this year, our theme across all of our locations is We the Church. And I kind of like the concept of we the church, because it's really an embracing kind of, I guess, philosophy, isn't it? You know, we're in this together type of thing, that you're not on your own. Who's ever felt like they're on their own? You ever had feelings like that? I mean, maybe even this week you felt like you've been on your own. Ever been in a place where you just go, nobody understands me, if only they knew what was really going on in my heart? You know, my wife sometimes says, you know, if I let them know what I was really thinking, and mostly that's just towards me, you know, but the reality is, you know, we're all the same like that. Isn't that true? You know, even the most outgoing of us actually at times struggle in identity and struggle to fit in and feel like everybody's talking about you. Nobody's talking about you. They're just too busy talking about themselves. You know, and so the reality is we're kind of all like the rest of us. And so I love this concept of we the church, because it kind of taglines into our other line, which is you, that you belong here. And that's really kind of cool that you in your uniqueness, you in your weirdness, and you are weird, right? You know, just the person next to you just elbow them and go, yeah, you're weird. But weird is a good thing. And weird, what makes weird weird is it's not normal. But what's normal? How do you really define what normal is? And I was thinking about this. Normal can actually only be defined one way. You have to take the concept of society and dumb it down to the lowest possible common denominator. And that's normal. I don't want to be normal. I don't want to be dumbed down. Because, you know, there are some things that in me that are dumbed down enough already. But there are also the parts of me that are really kind of out there and expressive. Bold enough to wear a flower shirt to church. Not bold enough, like Pastor Gray, to wear bright yellow shoes, which probably glow in the dark. But no doubt they're bringing people to Jesus. But the reality is, it's our individuality that makes us so unique and such a blessing. Why would we ever apologize for that? Why would we ever want to dumb down to normal? Because normal can never be an achievement to aspire to, but only something to succumb to. That's why the Bible says in Romans chapter 12, don't be conformed to this pattern of this world. The pull of the normality of this planet to take away the individuality and the unique gifts and talents and character that God has placed on the inside of you. That only within the body of Christ can you truly really express yourself the way that God meant you to express yourself, with some boundaries that are going to protect you and keep you, and yet the freedom to experience all that God has called you. Because the world will tell you that you're meant to be different, and the world will challenge you to just be yourself and go out there. But without the boundaries to hold that in check, then you begin to come out and you begin to bust out, and the very thing that you want to see accomplished in your life is undone, because there's no security to hold it in place. The framework doesn't take away from the picture. It defines it so that it's clearer for the person to see it. Do you see that? That God wants to frame your life. I love that. And he calls that framework the church, which is such a wonderful concept to understand. Last week, we had a great message from Pastor Mal called to serve. If you missed it, I encourage you to get on Podbean and have a listen to that. All our messages are up on Podbean. I listen to Pastor Rick all the time. He's an incredible, mighty man of God. It blesses me. And her message last week, what I got right out of it was our primary call is to minister to people, not to be admired by them. That, you know, our job is not to just be seeking to have people, I guess, approve of us or make us feel like we're important or belong or have that a sense of acceptance and things. But our primary responsibility is to minister to others, to switch that around. So it's not just about me now, but it's actually about somebody else. So today, I want to start a two-part series and just want to kind of launch it as we're looking at this theme as we the church. And I'm so excited to announce that after that, Pastor Jenny is going to speak in the house. That is going to be good. She specifically asked me not to share that because that I felt that she was going to try to get out of it. But now, of course, you're going to help hold her accountable to come and deliver. And I've said to her, because let me tell you, I said, you don't have to talk for as long as me. And I said, I promise you, the church will probably clap louder if you talk less than me. They would rather 7 minutes from you of just dripping the goodness of God than, you know, 30 minutes from Pastor Rick speaking again. You know, believe Lord Jesus, let somebody else, you know. And she's a lot more pretty to look at too during the preach, you know. But anyway, maybe that's just me. And then on the 10th of February, we have Pastor Joel Ramsey come into the house. So I want you to mark that in your diaries and think, who am I inviting that day? I would love it to be standing room only in the house. Pastor Joel has such a heart for evangelism and healing. So anybody that you know who's on the edges or fringes or maybe doesn't even like Jesus, just invite them along. Just tell them you're taking them out for breakfast. And just go, oh, we just got to stop in here. So just stop in here for an hour. On the way to breakfast, you know, so that could work, or taking them out for brunch or whatever. So you don't want to miss a Sunday in the next few weeks as we set ourselves up for this year. But let me kick off with the key verse that we're going to look at over the next couple of weeks. And it's found in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 27. And it says these words, Paul writing to the church at Corinth, which is kind of like writing to the church at City Point North. Now, you are the body of Christ and members individually. Can you talk to the person next to you? I just want you to look at them and go, no, you are. No, you are the body of Christ. Because, you know, a lot of people, have you ever had somebody say to me, well, you're supposed to be a Christian? You know, and they use it kind of in that way, you know, that Christian, not there, Christian. You know, I want you just, you know, to go, no, you are. And so each of us have got to understand that we are, this is a wonderful verse because it is both incredibly, I guess, collaborative and it just holds us all together, but it still embraces fully the individuality of the person, that you are members of the body of Christ, but yet you are uniquely individual, fearfully and wonderfully made. Some more wonderful, others more fearful. But the reality is we're all made, and you know what is exciting to me? That we're all made in the image of God. That kind of is crazy, isn't it? That God's image is so diverse and complex that when you look around and you go, I never knew God had an afro. I never knew God was also bald, with long flowing hair, and a big short nose. You know, that this not only the outward attributes, but the inward attributes. Wow, that God could be so reflective and melancholic, and yet so outgoing and charismatic and sanguine. And all these wonderful natures that we see in people. And for me, obviously, the reason I became a pastor is because I love the body of Christ. I love the church. I honestly do. I've never been hurt. I've never gone through a tough time. I mean, it's wonderful as a pastor. You work on Sunday for a good hour. You just download the message from sermonsrus.com. You know, and it's just brilliant. It's so easy, you know. No, I love the diversity of it. I love meeting people that I've never met before and hearing their story and kind of going, wow, I was about to complain about my week and then I heard yours. Your life really sucks. I don't tell that to them, but that's what I'm thinking. And then when I was about to complain about my miserable life, I realized it was great. And then, because there's always somebody who's got another story, you know, who's gone through some other things that you've never gone through. And people who've risen to the challenge, and it wasn't what's happened to them that defines them, but rather what happens in them. And the most wonderful thing of all is discovering people who know who they are in Christ. And keep their individuality, and yet even in that, they're still so different. And it's wonderful. It's a body coming together and working together, the body of Christ. You know, we could pull this scripture apart where it talks about, you know, not everybody is a head or not everybody's a hand or a toe. I mean, it'd be weird, right? But it's the whole body coming together and doing their function and their part. And when we do that, it's incredible the influence that we have, and it draws the attention of the world that you are part of something that is so massive that right now you're under this umbrella, under this covering of the body called City Point. And so we kind of look around and we're surrounded by people in City Point right here. You look around, wow, like there's 10, 20, 30, 50, 100 people in the house. And we're kind of going, this is amazing. But when you realize it's actually bigger than that, that there's another few hundred down the road and across town there's some thousands more, and right across on the other side of the world, you know, in Plovdiv, Bulgaria, they're going to meet together later today. And then tomorrow morning when we're sleeping, that our church in Colorado is going to be having Sunday. And we can already text Aaron and go, Sunday's going to be great. We've been there already. And, you know, we're part of this body that is just bigger than all of that, believing and honoring the same God. And then when you step back and you realize it's even bigger than that, because there's a whole bunch of Pentecostal Christians all over this planet who come together and believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. And yet it's even bigger than that, because there's people that you won't even believe it. There are Christians in the Uniting Church. There are Christians in the Baptist Church. There are people who love Jesus in the Catholic Church. And you may not be able to reconcile it, but He doesn't care whether you reconcile it or not. They're part of the body. And if you've got an issue with the brother, then you may get a shock when you get to heaven, because God may put you in the wrong neighborhood. Lord, I don't want to be with the Lutherans. I don't want to be with the Baptists. I only know two scriptures. You know, you may be like, I don't like the noise. And, you know, you just, it's incredible what we're part of. And when we celebrate the diversity of that, how incredible is that? How wonderful is that? That we're just meant to discover and love Jesus Christ and be salt and light in this planet. And when we begin to function like that, when we, the church, understand that, we look forward to Sunday. Every Sunday I look forward to wondering who's going to come. I know that generally one of my kids are, because I bring them. It always helps. I feel I'm off to a great start. And I know that Pastor Gray and Pastor Mel are going to be here because I pay them. And I'm very confident that they will bring others here because that's what I pay them to do. So we have a whole band because they're told that they need to have a whole band here. But I'm so grateful that the band comes because they don't have to, because nobody pays them. And then the most exciting, majestic things happen. People, for no reason, come. And then they give us money. I love that. Because why? Because they want to be part of something. Because they capture it. And we're all so very different. Some get here early, others of you make it through, halfway through praise and worship. It's all right, I noticed, Nathan. But he is over 40 now. Happy birthday, Nathan, for last week. So good. And I genuinely was shocked. I mean, he was touched by it. I thought he was only mid-30s. I didn't know he was that old. But, you know, late over 40s. Anyway, but so you got to understand, we don't just go to church. We are the church. And the church doesn't exist for us. It exists literally for the world. And our values ought to be different to people in this world. Our values ought to be different from a lot of the way that people look at church and come into church. And how you come into church, however you come into church, I'm excited that you come. I don't care how you come. I don't know whether you come in angry or upset, whether you come in broken, whether you come in looking for an argument. I actually really don't care. I'm excited that you're here, because I know that the Holy Spirit can work on you when you're here. But when you're not here, then you don't hear the preaching. And if you don't hear the preaching, then you don't get the anointing. If you don't get the anointing, God's not going to move in your life. And if He can't move in your life, then He can't change your heart. And if He can't change your heart, then your life won't change, and you won't fulfill the purposes and grace that God has put on your life. Powerful. All that happens in the church. You just thought you came and sat in a seat. No, you've been transformed by the preaching of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Not one word will return void when it's dripping with the presence and the grace of God. It will accomplish that which it sent out. And one day you'll sit in church and a message will be come through and it'll hit your heart and it'll change the trajectory of your life. People have sat in this church and be called in the mission field just because of a message. God's been working in their heart. People sat in this church and changed their entire careers just because of a message, because God's been working in their heart. People been ready to give up on their marriage, but God's been working in their heart. People's had to the place where they've had to let that marriage go because God's been working on their heart. Whatever that story is that you have when you allow the Word of God to come in. So we're not just going to church though, but we are the church. So we got to move past the values of this world, which is what's in it for me. Looking just for my needs. How are they going to meet it? I really want to have a good life group that just can pander to me each week. Tell me how precious I am. And pat on my head. I really hope they serve good coffee in this church or I can't stay. Thankfully, Braden's doing okay. And you can have a coffee today in the house of God and bring glory to him from the nectar of the gods. You know, I don't know, but maybe you come to this church because you know that you need some deep exegetical, homiletical teaching of the scriptures every single week. And if you don't have at least 3 Hebrew words and 6 Greek words and have it broken down, then, you know, you're just getting fed nothing. Forget fed takeaway. You know, well, maybe you go, it's not about that. You can do that at home. It's about worship. We're going to worship for 2 hours singing one song. And just one line out of one song until the angels come and heaven opens up. That's what we're going to do in church today. And if you're not a singer, you couldn't think of anything worse than 2 hours singing the song that you can't sing. You're just kind of like, come back later, you know. But maybe church isn't about all of that. Maybe church isn't even about you. And I say this all the time. How long do you have to come to church before you've had enough church? Till you heard enough messages? You know, I mean, have you figured this out? You can listen to T.D. Jakes today. You can listen to T.D. Jakes, followed by Brian Houston, followed by Stephen Furtick, followed by Carrie Newhoff. You don't even know who he is. Can't even spell that. But the reality is you can listen to the greatest preachers all over the world anytime you want. But that doesn't mean that you're part of the church. It just means that you listen to a message. So there's something about a church that has got to be more than the message. This is a foreign concept. And don't make it too obvious. But I want you to just kind of look to your left, look to your right, and see who's down your row. Because maybe you're there for them. And you didn't even know it. And maybe, just maybe, you're meant to connect to them. Have you ever thought that you may be here today to prophesy? Oh, I don't prophesy. Yes, you do every day. You just don't realize it. Because death and life are in the power of the tongue, and those who love it will eat the fruit thereof. And God is going to fill your mouth. And even if you only came for the very first time last week, this week you have something to say because you came last week. And it may just be so good to see you today. And it may be the most amazing prophetic word over their life because they were feeling that nobody saw them. And yet you just made them visible. How amazing is that? Hey, thanks for coming out. Hey, thanks for sitting next to me. God bless you for using deodorant. Or maybe I will buy you some deodorant next week. Don't say that. Our values need to be different. That's what I'm saying. As we grow in Christ, as we understand it, that we're not spiritual consumers, we're meant to be spiritual contributors. I wrote this down. It says, everyone has something to do. So if you're not doing something, then something is not being done. So that's what you've got to realize. If you're just coming to church and you're not actually doing anything, then you've got to realize that something is not being done because you're the one that God has called to do it. And you go, well, I don't know what that is. What is that, Pastor Rick? I don't know. That's what you got to discover. And that's part of the fun, is discovering what God has called you to do in and as a church. So not just at the church services, but maybe during the week, maybe how you're living your life. You know, there's kind of no big limitations on this. It's just opening up your heart to the possibilities of the voice of God. and the call of God. I'm going, what does this look like? And if I'm called to, you know, to serve in the world through my business, then I'm going to do it as unto the Lord with all of my heart and honor him in it. And I'm going to look to employ somebody else, maybe who's been looking for a job for such a long time. They're going to get employed to me. Their whole life is going to be turned around. Their family is going to be influenced, all because of Jesus blessing what I'm putting my hand to. And whatever it is, whatever I find to do, I'm going to honor him in that, because I'm not just serving God in the church, I'm serving God as a church and taking up my part. So our identity, I guess, is what we're looking at, who we are. We are the church. We exist for the world. We have our part to play. So today I want to speak on that specifically. I want to speak on we the church together. We the church together. Because there's something powerful about the synergy of coming together, isn't there? You know that you know the leverage of synergy, that partnership. You know, when one can put 1,000 to flight, but two doesn't put 2,000, but puts 10,000 to flight. That there's something incredible about being able to stand in the gap for one another, encourage one another, see each other's blind spots, but also encourage one another in the gift sets that we discover along the way. We ought to connect together, you know, and this concept of together, it's a value that we should have and a behavior that we should display. It's a core belief that we should align ourselves with in our life. We, the church, together is the way that we do life. Because the entire Bible is a story of God building a church family who will love him, honor him, and reign with him. We were created for community, fashioned for fellowship, and framed for family. I love the verse that we looked at last week from Pastor Mel in Romans chapter 12, verse 4 and 5. It says these words, "For as we have many members in one body, but all the members do not have the same function." We talked about that already. All the many members coming in, we don't all do the same thing. And so it doesn't go, but it says, so. I like that. So then, as in, here's a promise to that. So we, being many, are one body in Christ and individually members of one another. Each member belongs to each other. This is the craziest concept. I want you to just look at your favorite neighbor, not the one you don't like so much, but look at your favorite neighbor. Maybe you like them both, so this is tricky for you. And I want you to whisper this to them. I just want you to whisper this to them. You owe me. Some of you are going to love that. You owe me. And you kind of, I know some of you, I watched some of you people with a religious spirit on you, you didn't do it. And you're like, how do you, do you know, because if we are members and we're connected to each other, we do owe each other. You owe me to pray for me. You owe me to encourage me. You owe me to help stand in the gap for me. You owe me that if you see my fly undone in public, that you won't leave me walk away. Or if I've got some green thing hanging out of my teeth, you know, you got like a tree hanging out on the left-hand side and you went to three people who you thought were your friends and they didn't say anything to you, and then you go into the bathroom and you go, good Lord Jesus, there's a tree growing out of my mouth. Those people, they owe you. And you need to track them down. I go, man, you should have told me. That's what you're there for me. You got to have my back, bro. I don't want no green tree coming out of my teeth. Or if you got the breath that'll knock somebody over and it ain't the presence of God, then you owe them to tell them, dear Lord Jesus, I know the devil's coming out of you because I can smell him on the mouth. But the reality is, we actually owe each other. You know, sometimes I come to church, and maybe like you, sometimes you've struggled to come to church, but I come every Sunday because I owe it to be here. Obviously, because it helps when you're preaching, if you come. But the reality is that you don't realize it, but maybe that person in your row needs you today. That maybe you're going to be the voice more than the preaching, more than the songs are, more than the coffee even speaks to them. I know that's hard to believe, but more than that. That the word that God puts on your lips, and you may go, it's nothing, it's nothing, it's everything. It's everything. You know, this ability that God has to activate the body, that individuality that we have, being many, one body functioning together. And when we each play our part, you may write it off as insignificant. Let me encourage you out of something so powerful. You are not insignificant. You are incredibly significant to the call and the cause of Christ. Because whatever it is that you're not doing, it's just not being done. That person didn't come today because you didn't invite them. That's what you've got to realize. You ready? You owe them. When you stand before God and He says, well, what did you do with this great gift of salvation? And you go, I went to church at least 2 out of every 4 Sundays. Did you tell anybody? Oh, no, Lord, I didn't want to be a hypocrite. You already were a hypocrite, like everybody else. Say one thing, do another. We all have a little bit of a hypocrisy. Hypocrisy is just, that's like being human, right? But He said, but I had you to be able to speak into this person's life and this person's life, and you never did. But you were the opportunity. Yeah, I didn't think I could do it, but I was ready to fill your mouth the moment you just opened it. But you never did. You were never present in that moment. Paul writes it this way. He goes, how can they hear unless there's a speaker? How can they have a speaker unless they're sent? So that's why Jesus said that in the Gospels when He said, go into your world, preach the gospel with your life, with your opportunities. Be salt, be light, stand out for all the right reasons because you're the body of Christ. You'll preach to people that we'll never meet. You'll share the gospel in platforms that most of us will never have. Your platform will look very different to this. It may look like a train carriage. It may look like a bus stop. It may look like a queue at the aisle at the groceries. It may kind of look like your back fence or your front fence. It may look like down at the park when you're going for a run, at the local cafe that you find yourself, or in the university where you are, or while you're waiting in line for Macca's, for goodness sake, your platform may appear. God will whisper in your spirit and you go, are you bold enough to just encourage somebody? Not, hey, are you going to hell or heaven? Just go, hey, good to see you today. You're looking happy. Just open the conversation. Allow the Holy Spirit to fill you because your body of Christ meant to go out into the world. Mutually dependent on one another. And so when we come together every single week, we encourage one another. We build each other up in God. Amen. If you're not part of His church, both universal and local, there's going to be something wrong with you in the end. Pastor Mark puts it this way. Those who grow alone grow weird. Disconnected from the vine. Because in John 15, it says that I am the vine and you are the branches. And we go, well, we don't necessarily, you know, ever hear people say, well, I love God, but I just don't really go to church. The Bible actually said that person doesn't really love God because they're disconnected, because the way we connect is through the body of Christ. That wasn't my idea. This is God's plan. And He said, you can't love me. It's impossible to love me and not love my bride, my body. Could you imagine if somebody says to me, I really like you, Rick, but I hate your wife's guts. And I want to come over and hang out, but could you make sure that Jen's not there? I'd go, yeah, sure, I'll get rid of it, no problem at all. What do you think I'm going to do to that? I'm probably going to punch him in the head because I'm saved, but I ain't that saved. You mess with my life and I'll introduce you to the book of Acts. Isn't that true? Love you, Pastor Rick, but I hate your kids. You want to see Jesus today? I can help arrange that appointment, you know, because that's my family. That's part of my body. You know what happens? You know the same thing happens if people ever are dumb enough to speak against you. Guess what your pastor does? He feels the love of Jesus growing in his heart. And he encourages them to step down before I knock them down. Because you're part of my body. You reflect me and I reflect you every single day. You're going out there, you better go out there and look good looking like me. You better go out there every day and put a smile on your dial just like me. You every day you ought to have a little bit of purpose in your heart and go, man, I'm here for a reason, because that's what Pastor Rick does. And we represent each other. It doesn't ever leave me as a pastor, even when I'm on holidays. I never forget my family. I'm sorry, Jen, I'm on holidays. I'm not married. Who knows, as a husband, that is not going to go down well, is it? No, darling, I'm not doing any work. I'm on holidays. Good luck with that plan. Because we are connected to each other. And that's the way we ought to live our Christian life. You know, well, it's not Sunday. I'm not doing anything in the church. Hang on a second. You're part of the body. You owe it to each other to be faithful and serve one another. The early church had no idea how to do this church thing. They'd never experienced it before, and yet sometimes I feel they had a better clue than we do. In Acts chapter 2, verse 46 and 47, they wrote these words, "So continuing daily with one accord in the temple and breaking bread from house to house, they ate their food with gladness and simplicity of heart, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to the church daily those who were being saved." It wasn't just a Sunday deal. God began to move every day. Do you know why? They gave him opportunity to move every day. But if you only give God every opportunity to move every 2 weeks when you go to church, then the influence of God in your life is very limited to just that one time, once a fortnight. But if you involve God in the body, the church body in your world every single day, you give God the opportunity every single day to move in your life. It's just a connected thing, how connected you want to be in the church and as a church, both of those things. It's a core value of City Point. Part of our heartbeat document is being together. And this is what it means. It means to intentionally to do life together with other believers for growth, for encouragement, accountability, fun, and making a difference. So today I just want to give you three reasons why this is so important that we do it together for the note takers, just so that you feel like you got your money's worth on this fine day. The reason what we the church do together is, number one, because God wants his church family to be known for its love more than anything else. That when people look at the church, they're not identifying us for all the things that we stand against. We're against this and we're against that, and we hate this and we hate that, and you're going to go burn in hell. But rather, we're known for our love for one another. And ready? Not just for one another. We find it hard enough just to love one another a lot of times. But our love for the world, our love for the lost, our love for the broken. Because the truth is, there's a bit of loss and brokenness in all of us. That we've all got some damage, you know, we got scars. We got testimony that it's our frailty that kind of led us to Jesus in the first place. I didn't have it all together, so I found Jesus and just thought, aren't you lucky I'm here, God? Man, I stumbled into his arms broken. And every day it's only through his grace that I'm sustained to be able to keep doing what he's called me to do. And it's in that place of brokenness that I celebrate, because I don't have to prove myself to anybody. Because he loved me while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. And his grace is sufficient for me. And that no matter how short I fall, he still comes in and lifts me up. And he says, I love you anyway. Look, behold, my beloved son in whom I'm well pleased. And he's done nothing but breathe air. Hadn't done a miracle. Hadn't been involved in any preaching. He just was at home. But God says, your identity is secure in me. I want you to understand that. But God wants to see the church not just for its building, not just for its programs, not for its ministry, not even for its great music that we're going to all get involved in just a couple of weeks' time. But more than that, it's by our love for one another. That it's so visible that it's unmistakable. You know, I chatted to a lady after the service this morning who's going through a massive challenge on this really amazingly personal journey in her family and world. And she's like, how do I do that? I can't go there because my values, I don't want them to think that I agree with these things. And I go, it doesn't mean that you agree with it. But Jesus found him in situations and circumstances that he never agreed with. When he was there with the prostitutes, he wasn't engaging and accepting of the behavior, but he was showing them that he loved them. And I said, here's the point. If you're not there, you have no voice. That we were called to go into the world and be the gospel, to be salt and to be light, to add the flavor. And I said, here's the most amazing thing, that if you find yourself in this environment and the rest of the family can't even reconcile how and why you're there, and you're not there wagging your finger or clicking your tongue, but your arms and your heart is open whilst breaking, they won't reconcile it, because the love of Jesus Christ is the only thing powerful enough to cut through that moment. And the world looks on and they go, that's what I want. Because everybody's willing to judge me, but so few are willing to love me. But can I get just a little bit dirty to reach somebody that other people just pass by? John 13, verse 35, it says, "By this all men will know that you're my disciples, if you love one another." That when you get hurt in the church, you turn up next Sunday and you give them a gift. The very person that hurt you. You know, what? How amazing is that? Oh, you don't understand. I don't need to understand. I just need to know what God said. That if it was easy to love everybody, wouldn't mean anything. But it's when it's unreconcilable, when it's out and beyond, when it's true to your own hurt, when it's denying yourself and taking up a cross and loving them even though they don't deserve it, and you want to take the cross and stick it into their head. But instead you take up the cross and you stretch out your hands and you die on it. What does that communicate? I can tell you now, people are watching. Your kids are watching. Your friends are watching. And it is the most powerful gospel that you can preach when you're true to your own hurt and you just love people. And the world watches that and go, that is authentic Christianity. Because if you're not committed to this local group of disciples, then how does the world see your love for one another? If you just come to church and you're not part of church, then how do they see that? If you just attend every couple of weeks, but you're not involved in a life group or you're not serving in some way, shape, or form, they don't see that. You're not having to work through attitudes. You can come late and leave early into, you know, just to have a quick conversation about nothing with somebody and go, yeah, had a good week, bye, gone out of here. But you don't deal with attitudes. You don't have somebody stepping on your toes. You don't have somebody looking at you funny. But when you have to be involved in a life group and they're asking you and talking to you about things that you don't want to talk about, and they've got their little finger and they're pushing that little button and you want to take their finger and bite it right off. But in that moment, you're going deeper. God is doing something in you. How amazing is that? And you know what's incredible? You know, they're sitting there thinking the same thing that you're thinking. And if only we just stopped all the pretense and thought, I love Jesus, you love Jesus, let's just get over ourselves and love each other and work through this. And here's the most amazing thing in all of that. You know, you don't have to be different to still be loved by them. Oh, I will accept you even if you're quiet. In fact, I like quiet people because I can talk more. You know, you don't have to be this loud, effervescent person to connect into my world. Some of my greatest friends are incredibly different personalities to us. In fact, we went away just a couple of weeks back to a great friend of ours. And the very first wedding I ever did was this couple that we met out in Roma and led them to the Lord. And, well, him back to the Lord. And they got saved. And then we married them. And they became my youth pastors and things like that. And he is so noisy and loud. No. I mean, Chris, he speaks about 2-3 words a day, and that's it. But he's such a great friend, and I love it every time I catch up with him because we're so different and diverse. He's a country boy, so I put my hat on. I've got a country hat, and I played cowboy for the week. We went mustering. Pastor Jen even, we were branding cattle, and she was ruthless. I think she was thinking of me because she kept that sucker on, burning that poor cow for half a day, you know, just burn right through to the other side. We're like, let the poor cow go. He's marked already. We were skinning off the parts of the male bulls. And we cooked those suckers up. And we'll just leave it there. Committed and loving one another, even our uniqueness and our individuality, not lost in that moment, but appreciated in it. Number two, together moves you out of a self-centered isolation. Together literally moves you out of being self-centered. It helps shift you because otherwise you're kind of going to be like me and we're just going to be, you know, loving, doing whatever we're doing, just looking after ourselves. Nobody's kind of pushing us or provoking us or challenging us. But when you're together in the body of Christ, you will get challenged. You will kind of get stretched. You'll have those moments where you say, can you come give me a hand? And you want to say no, but then you're like, oh, I can't say no. And so now you find yourself drawn into this thing you didn't even want to do. How good is that? It's actually good to get yourself out of your comfort zone. You could live in your comfort zone all your life, but it'll never challenge you. You know, when I was running and training for my 50 kilometers, if I stuck to what I just wanted to do, it would be 5 kilometers. I'm a little short. And I get down to race day and all I've run was 5-kilometer runs. Who's confident that I would make the 50Ks? I got no chance of making the 50 kilometers. But Gordon, God bless his soul, was such an annoying, horrible friend that he gave me a training regime. And I'd look at it, and 1 week it was just a little bit more, and the next week it was a little bit more, and then the next week it was a bigger amount, that which is not right, and he shouldn't have done that. And he's supposed to be growing up in these increments, and why the hell would you do this? What's wrong with you, you crazy man? But it held me accountable, and I had to go run that run because he had a goal that was similar to mine. He wanted to see me make it and do it well. So he took me out of my comfort zone. Ever gone to the gym and just lift the weights that you can lift? Well, your muscles will never grow, but when you go beyond yourself. Anybody fast in the last couple of weeks? Find that a little bit stretch and a little bit hard? And maybe you didn't make it all the way through, but you made it 2 extra meals. And that first day was really tough, but you made it through to dinner. You know, maybe for you it was a few days short of it, but you did better than last year. How amazing is that? That's great. Pushing yourself outside of your comfort zone. Because isolation leads to separation. 1 Corinthians 12:26 talks about this connectivity. It says, if one part suffers, every part suffers with it. If one part is honored, every part rejoices with it. That this point of connection is that you may think that people aren't seeing what's going on in your world. They don't know the details, but they can see it. We see it. We see the hurt. We see the brokenness in your life. And that doesn't mean, well, I'm going to stay away. No, come. Fill in a prayer request. You don't have to put your name on the bottom if you don't want. We're not going to splash it all over the church. But if you've got situations that you need people to pray for, then we want to pray for you. We've got intercessors in our house who pray every single day, and they are looking for people to stand with and support on that journey. And maybe in the time of rejoicing, God has been doing some great things. And some of the great testimonies I get to hear back are when God's been moving in people's lives. Man, fill in a praise report and go, you'll never believe it. I was going this way, and God just poured out his grace. And I've had this whole opportunity open up to me that I didn't even see before. How amazing is God? And I go, that is fantastic. And we rejoice and we celebrate together. 1 John 3:16 says, this is how we know that what love is. Jesus Christ laid down his life for us. We ought to lay down our lives for one another. That it's not meant to be this big deal, like the biggest deal in all the world. It ought to be just our normal, that we actually would sacrifice for one another, that we would give for one another, that we would be willing to pay the price, to stand in the gap, to believe for God to move in their life just as much as he's moving in ours. And finally, 3, together is God's plan, not man's. Men didn't invent the church. God did. It was part of his plan from the beginning of creation that you'd be part of his family, members of his body, connected, serving, belonging, so that you could become who he's called you to become. Membership in the family of God is neither inconsequential nor something to be casually ignored. The church is always God's agenda for this world. We don't just go to church. We are the church. And church doesn't exist just for us, but we exist to reach the world for Jesus Christ. Rick Warren said this, today's culture of independent individualism has created spiritual orphans. Disconnected and cut off from the lifeblood of the local body, your spiritual life will certainly wither and eventually cease to exist no matter how pure your intentions are. That he meant for you to be connected to the body of Christ. It stirs it up. It like digs up the soil that maybe would just get a little dry and hard unless somebody was there digging at it. And though you don't appreciate it at the time, it holds a lot more moisture when it's broken up. As the band comes, this was never about the perfect church. This has always been about his perfect grace in our brokenness. This is never about options of whether I go to church or not, because I am the church. This is about commitment to what he's called us to be and what he's called us, the journey that he's called us to for this year especially. This is never about giving it go. This is about actually letting go of just going after what you want to do and going, I want to be part of something that's bigger than myself. This is all about being a spiritual contributor, not just a spiritual consumer. And together, we can do mighty things that point to the goodness and the grace of God. Amen. In this place, I'd love you to close your eyes, bow your heads as we come into his presence. Oh, Lord Jesus, here we are, we the church, together, incredibly unique individuals, thought processes, characters, personalities, gift sets. So many things that are so different, and yet here we all are together in this place. And I'm so grateful as I close my eyes and I think about the people who surround me. People that see things a way that I would never see them. Talk about things that I have no idea about. I love that. That here in this place, I know I can be safe to be exactly who I am and everything that you've called me to be. That even when I hear that whispered thought that I don't belong, I know that that's a lie from the enemy, because it is my uniqueness that helps me belong. That you called me and caused me to be part of the body of Christ, and I will take my place. So as we're looking into 2019, maybe in your world some things have to shift so that you can connect in more and serve more. Find your place in the body of Christ. And what is it that you're called to do? How is it that you can be involved? Maybe you can't find a great life group, so maybe the challenge is to start a group. I don't know how to start one. They didn't know how to start the church. They just did it. They learned along the way. It's not that hard. It's just one foot after another. So the challenge that God has for you this year, will you stay the same, have another year, or will you continue to grow in the call and the purposes of God? I encourage you, open your heart up to the Holy Spirit right now and allow Him to speak into your world right where you are. We, the church, together. And maybe you've come out here this morning while every head is bowed and eyes closed, and you're disconnected from the body because you don't.